If you're listening to this episode in real time, Happy New Year. So glad you're here and welcome to another episode and another year of the Top Self Podcast. I'm looking forward to 2024, as I say, new year, new you. But I don't want you to really do new you because we don't need a new you. I don't need a new me. But we are probably looking for a little bit of change. If you're listening to this podcast, you certainly are struggling with jealousy, and we want to get a handle on that. We want to make some improvements in that area. But I will say it's really hard to focus on your relationship, make changes to your relationship or to your career or with your kids, and really show up and be present in life to make those changes, to do the things that are required, unless you're physically healthy. And that's what I want to focus on the month of January to kick the year off right. I just turned 50 a few months ago, and it's becoming more and more clear to me that physical health is the most important. I can't do anything or need to worry about anything. You know, when we make our New Year's wishes or we're doing those vision boards, I think a lot of people are, you know, wishing for more money or wishing for a better relationship or wishing to find a partner, or maybe they have some other goals, which all are fine. But if we're not first focused on our physical health, none of that would matter. Who cares if you, you know, make that $100,000 a year or $300,000 a year or $50,000 a year, whatever your goal is, who cares if you make that? If your health is crap, if you get diseased or, you know, something happens. So I'm dedicating the month of January. It's still going to be focused on relationships, and you're going to hear today about, we're going to talk about relationship with food. So it's still about relationships, but we're going to use the month of January to focus on health. And so I have someone who is perfect for this, executive health and wellness coach, Tina Hong. She mentors highly accomplished women leaders and helps them to renew and reinvent in their second and third acts of life. So she helps them, like, what are we doing? How can we reinvent ourselves and renew ourselves? She is also an NLP mindset practitioner, and she's helped countless women lose weight, help them reverse diabetes, lower cholesterol, and lower their blood pressure. The big part, though, is really their mindset and their relationship with food. So happy to have you on the show today. Welcome, Tina Hong.
Thank you, Shannon. Shannon, you're so awesome with the work that you're doing. I'm so honored to be here.
Ah, thank you. Well, so I know you personally. I met you. I mean, we're new friends, but fast friends. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty familiar with what you do, and I love it. As soon as I heard what you do, I'm like, I want to pick your brain. I want to know everything. Tell me everything. Yeah. So this is a little bit close to my heart too, because you talk about reinvention in the second or third act, or what some people might say midlife. So I'm excited to have you on. I'm excited to pick your brain and allow the listeners to hear what you do. So go ahead and tell us, you know, what do clients come to you for exactly?
Typically, clients who are women who are achieving great things in their business and career life may have forgotten about themselves, and possibly even through midlife transitions where they're post-divorce or, you know, widowed recently or going through pretty big changes in midlife, including hormonal changes. So they're feeling really stuck with their body weight and not feeling confident in themselves in their private world. And so they often come to me and say, hey, I need to lose 20, 30, 50 pounds of body fat or weight loss, and need to feel better about myself. And also not just emotionally, but also physically.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head of a lot of times, like, they're busy, they're successful, they're accomplishing things, they're taking care of families, they're doing all the things that women do to help everybody else. And then all of a sudden they wake up one day and go, oh, crap.
Right.
What about me?
What about
me? You know,
me?
Now I'm noticing, I'm seeing these things that are different and I'm seeing things that are changing and I feel like it got away from me.
That's right? Correct. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, in midlife, we just have to, there's so many complications. Not only are we going through hormonal changes and increasing belly fat when you really, you know, if you touch any sugar, basically, you know, and they're like, I don't understand why things are changing. So you're dealing with hormonal changes. You're dealing with a lot of stress and emotional stress too, just in terms of relationship stress. Also being in the sandwich generation, taking care of kids, maybe still at home, but also dealing with empty nesting for the first time where their kids are going off to college and finding themselves like, okay, I've played this mom role for all these years and here I am. And it's like, who am I? They have to re-identify, right? Reclaim their identity, and they don't even know where to begin to discover themselves, rediscover themselves. That's where I really come in to help them. Yeah.
That's great, because it is one of those things where you wake up and go, man, there were so many things that I wanted to do that maybe I didn't get a chance to do, or things happened and I kind of gave up on them, or at the moment I decided to go a different route, but I want to go revisit that. And I think a lot of times it's either like, I want to learn something new, or I want to change my health. That is certainly a big one, right? I want to get fit. I want to be healthier so that I can have and really create this whole second half of my life.
Right. Exactly.
So what are some ways that we can do that? Like, what would you say for someone who says, okay, I need to start focusing on me. One of the things I want to do is just get healthier.
So many times, I swear, if I had a dollar for everybody who says this to me, I'd be a billionaire, quite honestly. I know what to do, but I'm just not doing it, right? Sound familiar? Typically, most people have an idea of what to do. They've gone through the dieting route. They might have gone through Weight Watchers. They've done the you know, South Beach diet. They've done all these different kinds of diets and they failed over and over and over again. So they are living in this disbelief that maybe this is kind of what I'm destined for, you know, being 20, 30, 50 pounds overweight in midlife. Maybe this is what it's at. And there are so many things about that. When you don't feel confident, there's such, you know, shamefulness around how they feel and how they look. They have difficulty even looking in the mirror sometimes. And that's when it's really deep-rooted pain around, you know, all the things that they weren't able to do, the sacrifices that they've made all along, raising children, being the best spouse and wife you could be, and holding up their end of the bargain in marriages also. So back to your question is, what can they do in terms of changing their body composition and looking and feeling good again? Really, it starts with nutrition. It really starts with really understanding what is best in terms of nourishment. People get confused that it's about calorically restricting. And especially going through menopause or midlife hormonal changes, you don't want to calorically restrict. You want to be nourishing your body with the right foods and moving your body, but not too much. You don't want to be exercising when you're already stressed. You don't want to be exercising like crazy and getting on a treadmill and doing cardio at 5-7 days a week. That's never going to give you the body composition that you want. And I speak about body composition because as we age, we're losing muscle mass, we're losing bone density. It accelerates, especially after the age of 50. And so this is the prime time for all of us to really get deliberate about what we're eating, when we're eating, and the manner in which we're eating. So those are the things that I teach and mentor my clients about. It's about really resetting your metabolism and healing your metabolism Mm-hmm. And that's what it really requires, to sustain for the long term.
Have fear and lack of confidence taken over your life? Is your constant anxiety keeping you distracted, holding you back from a successful career, a healthy relationship free of jealousy, or living the life you know you were meant to have? If you're ready to relax your mind, achieve change, and be a healthier, more present you, then book your free 30-minute discovery call today to see how I can help. I let my feelings of low self-worth get in the way for far too long, but I discovered a path to a calmer mind, learned how to be confident in my relationship, allowing me to feel present again in my own life. If you're looking to take your relationship or your career to the next level, or you just want to accelerate your journey to your top self, the link to book your free discovery call is in the show notes. Now back to the show. Oh my gosh. So much in what you've already said, because, you know, this podcast is about jealousy, and I see it over and over and over again, where a lot of times this really starts showing up for women in particular is when they're hitting midlife, as they're starting to get, you know, their kids are getting a little bit older. They're in their, you know, maybe 40s into their 50s, and they go, oh, I feel so insecure anymore. I've maybe gained some weight. I don't look exactly like I used to look anymore. And it hits them hard when now they're seeing younger women and how their bodies are. You know, when you're 20 years old, typically your body's in great shape. You know, most of the time you've got a great shape. And then it's that kind of wake up of, oh my gosh, I feel super insecure. Mm-hmm. And that does affect us in the bedroom, in our daily lives of going out and feeling comfortable in our own skin.
Right. Exactly.
So the other part you said, it's not about counting our calories or you know, the deficit in our calories. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit, because I think that that's the go-to. That's what we think we need to do is I'm going to run a ton, or I'm going to get on the treadmill and I'm not going to eat as much. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. So in midlife, when we have a lot of stressors, the number one hormone that gets hijacked is our cortisol hormone, our stress hormone. And that will trump your insulin response any day. So if you are already in stress mode on a daily basis, from the minute you wake up to the time you go to sleep, you are in anxiety mode. And it may be a slow undercurrent. It may be a low undercurrent. Maybe it's not like you're completely stressed. There can be different degrees of stress. But if you are stressed, your body is in fight or flight mode. And what that does hormonally is it tells your brain that you need to conserve energy because you're under attack. And when you need to conserve energy, your insulin stops responding, stops functioning as efficiently as it should. And so what it does is when your insulin isn't as efficient as it should be, and your insulin hormone, the job of insulin is to regulate your blood sugar. So every time you eat, your blood sugar rises, right? And if you're having excess of refined carbohydrates versus candy bars, which is the same thing, if you're having cookies, muffins, scones, bagels, first thing in the morning and all day long, and you're snacking and mindlessly eating, you are constantly raising your blood sugar, and your blood sugar is in excess. So here comes cortisol, your stress. That even further elevates your blood sugar. So even if you are, you know, doing pretty well with your eating program, if you're under stress, it will naturally raise your blood sugar. And your body is informed to conserve energy and store body fat, because you might need that for later on, because you're in fight or flight mode. You're in scarcity mode right now. Our thoughts are incredible, potent tool managing our stress is an important tool to be able to actually get your body back in balance. That's like number one, getting your stress under control, getting your anxiety under control is huge in terms of weight loss.
Well, I think it's so important because as people who suffer from jealousy, worrying about their relationship, always have a focus on their partner, they're in constant anxiety. And so then it's just like adding things on top one after the other, right? I'm already anxious, so my body's responding this way. So then I'm gaining weight, which makes me feel jealous and insecure, right? It's that whole just
whole
this
cycle.
Loop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Even low recurring anxiety, hypervigilance, your brain is turned on to watch out because you may be under attack. And believe it or not, that message to your brain is affecting your physiology, is affecting your hormones, is affecting your blood sugar. People underestimate the effects of stress. But it's not just because stress just kills and causes cancer and all these other things, but it really elevates your blood sugar. It elevates inflammation and so forth. But the hypervigilance around having that anxiety around and that worry, the incessant worry that someone's not doing right by you, that you're being cheated out of something, that you might be lied to, you might be not being treated the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
It feels bad. It feels terrible. And that feeling is anxiety, and it shows up physically over time. Most of the time when we're stressed or having anxiety, we're mindlessly eating, we're multitasking, we're trying to do too much. And just to slow down and take a pause is one of the most important things we can do. Take a breath and just intercepting our nervous brain or our anxiety brain, because our bodies are designed to either self-protect or heal, right? Naturally, where our bodies are designed to do that. We have an intelligent system. And essentially, if we feel under attack or we feel nervous that we're going to lose or we're going to lose something, and that anxiety, that affects their gut. That affects their ability to digest foods. It affects their ability to deeply nourish and extract the nutrition that you're eating. So, you know, when I talk about weight loss, it's not just about eat this, not that, not just about the food on your plate, but I talk about nourishment that's off your plate, the nourishment, the things that nourish you and make you feel completely satisfied, that doesn't have to come in relationships, doesn't have to come in codependency of other things, outside things. Some people go crazy in terms of really feeling nourished or feeling pseudo satisfied through their career achievements, getting back to their breath, getting back to their center. And that is such an important tool to actually take a breath. Breathing in through your nose actually intercepts your vagus nerve and gives you nourishment and intercepts your parasympathetic. It turns it on. It turns on your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest system. Most people are operating on their critical thinking brain or just reacting, allowing themselves to just react without really knowing what is the truth and what is false and what is made up in our mind. Our minds are such powerful things. Our minds and our thinking can actually control our way of healing our bodies, healing our metabolism. And many times the clients who I work with, they may have 100 pounds of body fat to lose, and their biggest obstacle is their thinking.
Yes. I love that you talked about let's work on what's off the plate. And that really is a big focus of yours is, yes, you bring all of this knowledge on the nutrition and what the body needs, but you're really focused on
the mindset. And I love it because you said earlier something like the body is designed to protect or to heal. And
correct. Yeah.
So my physical trainer said something that really stuck with me. I do weightlifting, so we're trying to go for a personal record on some things. And it was really difficult. And he was like, I can see where your bigger muscles are coming in to help your smaller muscles. Cause I was working a small muscle and my bigger muscles came in to help it. And he said, your mind will fail way before your body will. Because your body is like, you know, your mind is what's going to fail you in that way, not your body. Like your body has all these other ways that it's like, yeah, let's do this. Let's take care of this. Let's make this work. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that you really focus on mindset when it comes to this.
Yeah, that's such a critical, essential key. The nutrition mechanics is just as important. Like I said, you have to really regulate your blood sugar when it comes to hormonal balancing and losing weight. It really comes down to regulating your blood sugar. So what you eat and in the manner in which you eat is just as equally important. But a lot of times clients will have a disbelief that it's even possible. They're like, here I am. Here's what I got. You know, it's not going to get much better than this. And they believe that in their subconscious thought that that's what they got to work with. But it's not true. If you are healthy in general and you have metabolic flexibility, you can change not only body composition, losing body fat, increasing strength, but also heal your body from, you know, a lot of different serious symptoms that are totally curable. High blood pressure, elevated triglycerides, type 2 diabetes. These are all curable through nutrition. And that's 90% of the work. 10% of the work is really exercise. And when we exercise, and sometimes people end up over-exercising, that in itself, that activity of doing too much cardio raises your cortisol.
Yeah.
You know, it raises your endorphins and make you feel good. But when you are nutritionally imbalanced and your insulin is imbalanced and you're insulin resistant, basically I say, don't even do the cardio right now. Do light walking and get a couple days of weight training in and really focus 90% on being deliberate about what you're eating.
Thank you for that tip, because I do feel like people automatically go to the cardio when they feel like they're overweight. They automatically go to the cardio. And we know, especially in this stage of life, it's really like the weight training, things like that, that are going to help.
No, cardio is not going to make you lose body fat. It is just not.
Yeah.
It is. There's The purpose of weight training and that form of exercise is to really change your metabolism. And when you're eating more protein, less carbs, no processed foods, nothing in a package, wrapper, box, or bag, or can.
Hard part, right?
Right. When you can clear all that stuff out, you know, most people can start regulating their blood sugar through real food. Mm. And that's about real nourishment, nourishing your hormones so that you can get back into balance.
I have a couple things that I want your professional opinion on, and I wanted to run by you. The blood sugar part is super key. It's really important to this whole thing. Do you recommend, because I've been hearing a lot about people, even without diabetes, who are getting glucose monitors or maybe the Lumen, I think is what it is. Do you think that those are good things to do to monitor that blood sugar?
That's a great question. I think when you have any kind of technology, medical device tools like blood glucose monitors, or even food tracking apps or body composition scale, Some people really get into the data because that data informs them and you learn like, okay, I just ate that. So it means this, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a input and there's an output. So a lot of people can really learn a lot about themselves and their bodies, and everybody's different. Typically, once you have breakfast first thing in the morning, your blood sugar is going up. If you're going to have pancakes or even oatmeal in the morning, your blood sugar is way up sky high. And it's going to take several hours for your insulin to kick in and to start regulating. Several hours. So after your meal, it may take up to almost 4 hours for your blood sugar to get back to level. Okay. Wow. Get back to norm. And you don't really lose body fat. Your body's not actually seeking body fat to lose until you can regulate that blood sugar. So essentially, where the blood glucose meters come in is test yourself. You know, if you look at type 1 diabetics, they don't produce insulin naturally. That's why they have to inject insulin medication to bring down their blood sugars through, you know, exogenous insulin, external insulin. People who are type 1 diabetics, if you're 250, 300, you know, without the insulin, you can go into a coma state. You can go into shock. And most people don't even realize how high their blood sugar is because they're not testing or they have no idea. They're not type 1 diabetic or they're not type 2 diabetic. So I think more information is good.
Yeah.
Essentially, if you can start with the basics and start noticing and clearing out those processed chemical, sugary or refined foods, you're going to have a great start when you start there. Yeah.
That's like one of the hardest things to do, though, I think, for people, right? It's like the pasta and the sweets are so hard. I have a big sweet tooth. That's my thing. And so it's really hard. And we know the more sugar you eat, the more sugar you want.
Right.
So it's like really making that choice of like, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah. And it's not just about the sugary sweet. Okay. Because your blood sugar responds the same exact way, whether you're eating a candy bar or a piece of bread. Same exact thing. So even though it may look different and you think, well, I'm just having a piece of bread and not the chocolate cake, right?
Right.
But basically what it's doing to your body and how your insulin is responding is the same exact way. It's reading that information as the same way. It's raising your blood sugar. And your insulin is doing a really hard job to regulate your blood sugar back down to balance.
So we've been talking about, and I know this is who you focus on, you know, people in their second and third acts or midlife when these things really start to change. But also, I kind of wish that somebody, it's not like I didn't hear diet and exercise, meaning nutrition and exercise for years, but I don't think it really hit me how important or how different it could have been for me had I started this a long time ago and really focused on it then, of getting, of eating healthy leading up to my 40s and, you know, now into 50. So is that something, like, are there things that we can start doing as we are younger? Because I know my breakfast used to be a cupcake and a Diet Coke when I was in my 20s. So, and like nothing happened. So I thought, no big deal. Mm-hmm. What can somebody do who, like, leading up to that, are there things that they should be watching for or doing that will help as they approach that age?
It's the same thing that applies whether you're 40 years old, 30 years old, or 50 years old. Okay. It's the same thing. It does catch up with you, but it's really about looking at food in a very different way, that it's not a source of comfort, that it's not a source of stress relief. You know, it's really looking at food as fuel for your body. It's looking at food as nourishment. And that's the nourishment that's on the plate. And then, you know, going back to the thing that we were talking about, nourishment off the plate. It's like when most people feel satisfied generally in their relationship life, in their home life, in their career life. Maybe it's not a number 10 in all categories, but they generally feel satisfied. There's less of wanting or missing something. So when you feel emotionally satisfied, you're less grabby for those quick fixes. When you're seeking comfort food through sugary treats or refined carbohydrates or even bread or pasta, you know, because what that does is it raises your blood sugar and it hits up your dopamine hormone. That's your pleasure hormone. It directly hits up your dopamine hormone. So when you're lacking pleasure or satisfaction in your life, what I found was that people are grabby. They're seeking that comfort. There's something always missing, you know, and that something always missing, you know, we have food around us all the time. We can get food at the press of a button through DoorDash now. And it's like instant gratification, right?
Yes.
And so when we don't feel happy, satisfied, when we need to feel comforted, oftentimes the dangerous thing is the accessibility and the instant gratification of food that becomes really a huge saboteur for people who are entering, you know, who want to feel good, number one, but also who want to look good too. We want to feel more confident. Food directly affects our mood. Food directly affects anxiety. You know, if you are on a highly processed, high sugar diet, there are millions of studies out there that talk about, you know, anxiety for people who are not eating nourishing foods, nutrient dense foods like proteins, meat, fish, poultry, seafood, whatever, a wide array of nutrient dense foods. And they're just eating boxed foods or fast foods or convenient foods that you buy at a convenience store. You're not nourishing those neurotransmitters in your brain. So there's always a level of anxiety that exists. It's directly correlated. What you eat affects your mood. What you eat affects your level of anxiety. And there's tons of studies around that. And I've really studied, you know, like when I got into health coaching, I was like, why do people get addicted to food? Why do people get addicted to sugar? And this is years and years of really getting to the root cause of this and in application and coaching sessions with my clients that I've really come up with a formula that works. And that's proven in terms of a program, in terms of nutrition mechanics and the mindset piece to help you get there.
Oh my gosh, such good information. I have one last question for you before we go. I wanted to ask this because it's so popular right now. It's being talked about so much. You and I had a personal conversation about it, but I want you to share here because we always want to go for the quick fix. We want to go for the thing like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of, you know, feeling this way. I'm tired of carrying around this weight, or I'm feeling super insecure. What can I do that's going to make this happen right now as quick as possible? And so we know that there's the Ozempic, right? That's out.
Yes.
So I know that a lot of people are thinking, oh my gosh, this is great. This is the thing. And there are a lot of people, a lot of doctors that are giving that away. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So great question. And yeah, it's totally relevant to what's happening right now. And, you know, more than 50 to 60% of the American population is overweight, chronically overweight or obese. And so it affects a lot of people, and understandably so. A lot of people, they want the quick fix, right? Give me the pill to help me lose this weight. First of all, Ozempic and Wegovy, those are synthetic peptides that control your appetite. Okay. So how does that work? It really affects those neuromessengers to your brain. So basically, appetite control happens to say, I am full. I don't need any more food, right? So this goes back to, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to eat less, right? And when you eat less, what happens? You're pretty much calorically restricting, meaning you're not getting the full nourishment that you need to truly heal your metabolism long term. Does Ozempic and Wegovy? Yes, they've said that a lot of people lose weight very quickly. So I believe that this drug can be useful for people who are on high risk factors, meaning they are morbidly obese and they need that help to bring down so they have more mobility. Or they're
so they can get their body moving.
Right. So, or they're out of the getting them out of danger zone. But if you're 20, 30, even 50 pounds over fat, you know, you're putting yourself at greater risk because not just in terms of the side effects of the medication, right? Because it hasn't been out on the market all that long. So we don't know what the long-term side effects are. But secondly, you're not actually getting the nourishment you probably need because this drug is controlling your brain in terms of appetite suppression, those neurotransmitters in your brain. And so you're not truly getting the correct macronutrients that you need to nourish your hormones, to produce a healthy gut, to produce healthy neurotransmitters. You're not really healing the underlying problem. And not only that, you think this quick fix is going to help you drop 30 pounds, but if you have not cleaned up your diet, you're still eating lots of sugar and you're still having processed foods and you're still eating mindlessly and without any deliberateness in terms of your eating, these are habits. These are lifestyle habits that are always going to be in the place, you know, And as soon as you get off the drug, you're going to regain your weight instantly because you never fixed the habits. So that's my opinion of that. If you're on a high risk factor, I would say, you know, for doctors to just willy-nilly give away this prescription to anybody, I think is almost irresponsible because people, even though you may lose weight, you can actually be malnourished. You may not be getting the macronutrients you need to rebuild your hormones naturally. And our bodies are designed to heal. And we need that nutrition and we need the essential amino acids and all the nutritional building blocks to heal our body naturally. And that's totally possible just in the way we eat, just clearing things out. That's the first thing you can do. But yeah, it really depends on risk factor, number one. And number two, it's if you're not actually, you know, fixing what you're eating and fixing your habits around your eating, then you will regain the weight. You don't want to be on this medication for the rest of your life. You just don't. It's you're going to end up, you know, with saggy skin, with a body composition in your older age without having strength or muscle mass, because muscle mass comes from protein, comes from essential amino acids, comes from nutrition. And if you, you know, okay, you lose 30, 50, 100 pounds, but essentially if you're not fixing your actual nutrition and what's going in your mouth, you're just kind of, you know, a container.
Yeah, which is why the weight training and that type of stuff, the strength training is so important. You have this awesome program to help people that are suffering from this. So where can people reach out to you? Because I know that there are going to be people that are like, oh my gosh, tell me more. How do I do this? Let's work on my mindset. Let's work on my body composition. How can they reach you to do that?
Right. So you can go to CoachTinaHong.com and reach out to me that way to book a call with me to see where you're at. What's the roadmap look like for you? I continue to offer group coaching programs throughout the year. But if you want a personalized plan, then that's probably the best way to go.
Love it. Well, thank you, Tina. Thank you so much for being here. It was so good to see you. I appreciate it.
You're a doll. Thank you so much, Shannon, for having me. And I just want to say that women out there who are part of Shannon's community, I just want to encourage you that you are enough. You are so worthy. You are so worthy. And sometimes you need people like Shannon and myself, outside people, to help you see that. Sometimes we don't see that. And it's hard for us to see that because we're just blinded by whatever's in front of us. And we need that intervention sometimes, that objective point of view. And that's what a good coach does. So I want to encourage all of you out there to really just know that you are worth it and that your self-worth starts with you.
Love it. Yes. What a great place to end. Thank you so much, Tina.